I collapsed. I cannot begin to describe what came over me, only that my mind was filled with sensations of agony, feeling, smelling, seeing, hearing, and basically sensing nothing but agony. I did not know how long this lasted. It certainly seemed like an eternity to me, but I came out of it, shaking, only to suffer another mental shock. We were in the center of a ring of flame, which seemed to hold back the lesser moon beasts, but did not hinder the dark ones. For a second, I vaguely hoped that Isabeau had come to the rescue, but when I looked around, I spotted a familiar face, topping a gaunt, bent body clothed in tattered robes and holding a staff, flanked by a warrior in a full helm, and a tall, thick-set son of a bitch topped by a wide-brimmed leather cowboy hat. The Reverend and Angel were very recognizable, and I assumed that the warrior was Bryce. On the positive side, they seemed as surprised as we were at being here. It made sense, of course, for them to be able to dial into the Trapezohedron. By the look in their faces, however, they did not expect to be here, and the Dark Ones did not seem overly friendly inclined towards them either. I saw Frost struggle to activate the Trapezohedron just as Angel turned around and saw me. He said nothing, but the surprised look on his inbred mug was worth at least a dime. The warrior also recognized me. "Son of a bitch," he said, Bryce's voice. No mistaking that. Strange things go through your head when you're in a life-and-death situation, and your mind has just been overwhelmed by waves and waves of pure psychic agony. I've heard about people being trained to resist lie detectors by mentally reciting nursery rhymes. In my case, I suddenly come up with a variant on Warren Zevon's hockey song, brackets hit somebody. There were Nazis to the left of me, moon beasts to the right, Reverend Bryson Angel itching for a fight. Brains over brawn, that might work for you, but what's a poor Delta Green agent to do? Shoot somebody. What else can a Delta Green operative do? Shoot somebody. I do not think I sang it out loud. Anyway, shoot somebody did not seem like a bad idea. I drew the Luger and I pulled the trigger. I can only blame myself for not putting one straight between Angel's eyes. The aftermath of the moon beast's psychic assault, my hand shaking, my vision blurred, whatever the reason, there's no excuse. I'm a good shot with a pistol, and this was at point-blank range. I should have spattered his swamp water-infected brains all over the moon beasts that were closing in on us, but I barely clipped him on the arm. Then Wilmot opened up, full auto with a Schmeisser. He definitely hit Angel, I think. In any event, the sister fucking spawn of a swamp cockroach was thrown off his feet and out of my way. The Dark Ones were on us, and they were wielding their staves to bring us down. I had seen Chief go down after one hit, with the body of Rochelle Devereaux that he had been carrying falling to the ground near him. One of the Dark Ones lashed out and struck me on the leg. There was a discharge and the reek of ozone, but I barely felt a tingle. Shield of Isis, saving my ass once more time. I dodged out of reach and saw that Frost had managed to open a gate. Wilmot was still standing, so was Firth, and Frost, of course. He seemed exhausted, his face wet with perspiration. But he'd done it. But we had to step through. I reached for Chief's foot, dragging him and Rochelle's body on top of him along, dodging on the strike one of the Dark Ones along the way. Somewhere, on a bestial, unconscious level, it registered that the going was relatively easy. Too easy. It was only as I stepped through the gate that I realized that the going had been so easy, because somewhere, somehow, Rochelle Devereaux's body had slid off of Chief's. Then it was cold, icy cold. Visibility close to zero, howling winds whipping up snow. Frost was the last through the gate, closing it behind him. I took a quick survey. Wilmot had been able to grab Cecile's body. Firth had managed to get through, as had Frost. That means that DJ and Rochelle Devereaux's body had been left behind. My head swooned, and for a moment, I thought I was going to black out. I had failed. Whoever comes with me returns home, but not this time, not here. Leaving the fallen behind is one thing, but leaving the living behind in the claws of the moon beasts, that was too horrifying to put into words. Firth kept things together, sparing Frost to get us out of there before we froze to death. He manipulated the trap as a hedron into opening a new gate, and we dove through. It was dark. We were surrounded by trees, but the temperature was temperate. I had a vague inkling of where we were. It seemed familiar. Then I saw a pair of lights appear in the darkness. Then tens of other pairs appeared. I looked around to get a better view, but I knew. I knew where we were, and then it was confirmed. Zug. I never thought I'd be happy to see the little critters again, but I sure was. Firth confirmed that we had arrived back in the Enchanted Wood. I warned the others not to touch, provoke the little beasts. I remembered how quickly they had disarmed Anderson, now more than a year ago, and I was still not exactly 100% certain about their dietary requirements either. We looked to the wounded, and I tried to check on Devereaux. No sign of consciousness. The idea that Cecile might still be over there, trapped in the body of her vampire mother, did nothing to lift my spirits. Even as Firth set to work on getting the trapezohedron to open the gate to the city of Celephase, my mind, with a mixture of dread and rage, was already turning towards plans to get back to the Nameless Isle. Whoever follows me goes home.